Welcome to the Fetish Show.
The Fetish Show explores kinky sex, adult entertainment, relationships, and BDSM lifestyle. Your hosts are fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix and fetish model, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk and Zoe.
I think you know what's gonna happen tonight. I'm all happy, thank you, babe.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. I'm Dirk Hooper, and I'm joined, as always, with the Bijou, Princess Zoe. How you doing, Zoe?
I'm doing fine. Mr. Hooper?
I'm doing dandy.
Tell us what Bijou means.
Bijou means elegant and highly prized.
Wow, I like that.
How about that?
I like that a lot.
All right, tell us what's coming up on this episode.
On this episode, you can look forward to some CBT and contacting a dominatrix. And an interview with the band Kale Ra. Did I say that right? Do y'all know?
I have no idea.
I think I did.
But when we interview them, we will find out.
And new format of the show.
Well, let's talk about the new format of the show.
Let's do.
All right. Well, fill us in.
Well, we have a new format. We have been working with Matt Kemp from RK1 Production up in Edmond. And he's been helping us get our equipment situated, I should say. And I don't exactly know what to say about that, except that it's all good.
Well, I'd like to say this. Matt put a lot of time in.
Yeah, he did.
To work with a lot of bugs and stuff. We've got a new mixer and a new program and a new computer and
yes,
a lot
true.
Of new equipment. And it's all, I mean, it's kind of a lot to take. But what we can do now is mix multiple tracks, which is cool, right?
Yes, very cool.
And, there's just some more options that we have now that we didn't have before. So it's an upgrade. And anyway, welcome to it.
And it's all good.
There you go. We're skipping number two and we're going right straight to art stuff. What's been going on? Why don't we talk about you for a minute?
Well, what's been going on with me? I wasn't prepared for that question.
Sorry. I did. I completely put that on you.
Lots of good stuff, I could say.
Lots of good stuff?
Yeah.
You might have an announcement to make maybe on our next show.
I might.
Maybe. Can we say that?
Well, I can say that. Yes, you can say that.
All right.
You can say that. It has to do with the dungeon.
Very good. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. And what's been going on with you, Mr. Hooper?
Well, I've had a couple of things artistically happen lately. One thing is I got into the Dirty Show again.
That's
great. The annual Dirty Show. They've been around for 150 years now. I don't know what it is. It's like
they love
I think
you
it's
there.
Maybe I want to say it's like maybe the
12th,
13th or something. Man, I should know better. But if you're interested in it, you can go to dirtydetroit.com. I got another deal in there. Actually, I solicited four different things and the ones that I thought they would pick, they didn't pick. What they picked was my piece that's called Kiss, which is it's four girls dressed like members of KISS.
I remember that one.
And that was the one that I did actually last year for the IAO Biting the Apple
that's
exhibit.
That's right.
And that's the one they picked. I mean, I sent them actually a picture of you, and I sent them a picture of some of the guys from the Stage Door Johnnies. And I figured that they'd pick one of those, but that's not what they picked.
The KISS one is awesome.
They liked it. So
I liked it a lot myself.
In any case, they picked that. It's always an honor to be involved with the Dirty Show. It's an international erotic art show, has artists from all over the place. I've been in the last, I don't know, five or six?
I think so.
Something like that. And it's always a big thrill for me. I've never been to the show.
We need to go there.
We really do need to go.
We say that all the time. We say
that
every year.
I know, we say that every year. I'm afraid that if we go, I won't get in. I'll jinx myself. It's like, yeah, let's go. It'll be lots of fun. It's like, oh, shit, I didn't get in.
I think they expect you to be in the show. Wouldn't be the Dirty Show without Doug Cooper.
They ran it like an extra couple of weekends and stuff. It's running all during February. But if you're interested in it, sometimes they do them maybe in another city or twice a year. But if you're interested in it, it's go to dirtydetroit.com. Right?
Right.
Also, late last year, I did some photos. I had a gig with Mistress Daria from Dallas.
Yes.
And some work that I did with her showed up in a magazine that's called Subspace Magazine, which is about BDSM and dominatrix and submissives.
Cool name for a magazine.
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
I like that name.
So issue number one came out, and I have a photo in there.
She's pretty hot little number, too, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, I mean, really, really cool and kind of a great resource.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a lot of information. She's really sharp. Recently, I got to meet her friend, Goddess Ashley, too, who's also...
Yeah, I think you're in love with her.
...right on top of everything. I mean, she is really...
They're doing Foot Night in Dallas.
They are doing Foot Night, yeah.
I think they took over that part of the franchise there.
They did. They did. They took over that whole thing, and they got a lot of stuff going on.
If you want to know about Foot Night, you can look that up at footnight, N-I-T-E, .com, not N-I-G-H-T here.
There you go. So. And they've got their own blog. Maybe we'll put that up there, too, if you're interested in the one in Dallas. But if you're interested in Foot Night, they've got them
they got them in different
Chicago.
Cities.
They've
yeah.
got them, like, all over the United States.
Yeah.
And stuff. But yeah, that's Mistress Daria and Goddess Ashley are hosting the one that's in Dallas.
So where do we find this magazine? Subspace.
Unfortunately, I do not have that.
You can put it, you get the info.
I don't have the
what
link
the
for
hell?
It right now. But what we will do is we'll check on that. We'll make sure that it's posted on this on the info for this episode.
All right. That sounds okay then.
All right. Well, that's our introduction, and up next is the Fetish Show News.
Hi, I'm Princess Zoe. You are listening to your dominant source for fetish news, kinky events, interviews, advice, and reviews. This is the Fetish Show.
First story on the Fetish Show News, from the Miami Herald, a Southwest Florida woman accused of kicking people's genitals has been charged with battery on a law enforcement officer after punching him in the face, according to Manatee County Sheriff's Office. The deputy responded to a dispatch call of a female in the street kicking people in genitals and running around, according to a police report. Katina Collins, who matched the description of the woman, walked away from the deputy who asked her to stop. Why would you do that? The foot pursuit ended with Collins allegedly turning and punching the deputy, causing his sunglasses to fall off, according to the sheriff's office. The deputy was able to get Collins on the ground. She allegedly attempted to scratch the deputy while he handcuffed her, the report said. Collins, charged with battery on an officer, is being held at the Manatee County Jail on a $1,500 bond.
Wow.
You know, it occurred to me that she could get paid $300 an hour if she'd just go do this in a dungeon, and she wouldn't get arrested, and she wouldn't have to punch police in the face.
They pay her.
Exactly. Everyone wins on that deal. I mean, if you're just going to randomly kick people in the genitals.
Well, that's just not enough to the story. We need more info.
Well, yeah, they didn't explain that. You want some explanation for the genital kicking?
What the hell? Well, kicking, is it just kicking anyone or kicking dudes in the nuts or what the fuck?
I guess.
Kicking maybe chicks little, in the hoo-ha? Or,
I don't think she was after chicks.
Just after the nuts, huh?
It's total femdom. Might as well get paid for it, right?
Might as well. But
instead
in this
of jail.
She's having a fucking bite. $1,500.
Yeah, that's the opposite direction. She needs to put herself together there.
Okay, we have to get in touch with her.
Exactly. She just needs some help. The next story that we have is from Yahoo. Boyfriend trainer which is available in both the Apple App Store and the Android Market, lets players slap, electrocute, or mace a virtual boyfriend for what most people would call minor transgressions, including drinking the girlfriend's drink or leaving his shirt on the ground. Wow. Players also lead their boyfriend around on a leash. The game's description says, quote, crack that whip and teach your guy a thing or two about being the perfect boyfriend. When scolding doesn't work, just zap him, whack him, and train him to be your ideal man. The app was developed by Games to Win, a Mumbai-based company that has a notable presence in the web gaming market. There's even a sequel to Boyfriend Trainer Online telling players to, quote, get your whips out and teach those boyfriends a thing or two again.
We're going to have to check that one out.
They have an app for that.
Wow. How about that?
Pretty amazing.
It is.
One thing I was going to mention is that Apple is notoriously bad for removing anything that even suggests porn or anything. So I suggest, I don't think this will be around very long.
So check it out now.
Yeah. If you're interested, get it right now. Although if you have an Android phone, it'll be on there forever because they don't care. They're cool on there. All right. Our next story comes from The Independent in the UK. The writers of the legendary comic book lawman Judge Dredd have caused a stir among fans by suggesting that he might be gay. The latest edition of the comic 2000 AD is titled Closet and deals with the issue of a teenager coming out. The first page has been released on the internet and apparently shows Dredd, a judge policeman from the future, kissing the youth in a gay club. Reaction to the teaser, which was released online last month, has been mixed, with some fans so hostile to the idea they have threatened to burn the comic.
Damn.
Yeah. A spokesman said, "We have had quite an extreme reaction. Dredd has always been satirical while touching on serious issues. This is another example of this. There is a twist in the tale with all not being as it seems," the spokesman said. Writer Rob Williams said Dredd's sexuality, whatever it is, was buried beneath his love for the law. He said, "Although you can imagine what would happen if that repression ever fell away, just for an instant, sure, Dredd could be gay. You can't look at the original costume design of leather and chains and not see a fetishistic edge there." The writer said comics were, quote, a great place to deal with issues such as homophobia. He said, "As long as you stay true to the character throughout, which I think Closet does, you can deal with all sorts of issues in a story, and if they push people's buttons, then fine."
Closet.
Yes. That was the title of the story.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Got that wrong.
Sounds like one of Michael Jackson's kids. Along with Blanket, you also have Closet.
Blanket,
right?
Closet. I think so.
And Fred. Didn't he have a Fred?
I don't know.
Maybe not. Horrifying. So anyway, I think maybe the real story here is that there wasn't much of a reaction to this. I mean,
to Closet.
Yeah, people are pretty much used to this. I mean, whether they're killing someone off or whatever in comics, people kind of take it in stride. And maybe the big story here is that if your comic hero is gay, it's not that
big
a story. Yeah, which yeah. I think is probably the way it should be, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
All right. Well, this was interesting. Jay, who is one of our writers here at the Fetish Show.
Yes.
One of his kids contacted us and gave us this information, and this is actually a local story.
Well, let's hear about it.
From News9.com in Oklahoma City, a party hosted by a group claiming to be, quote, open to every sexual fetish, unquote, has some people outraged because of where it is scheduled to take place, a public library. The social networking website Taboo is hosting the event called a Littles Valentine Day Party at the Southwest Oklahoma City Public Library on February 10th. Quote, "We have no problem with them. We are not the thought police," says Gary Kramer with the Pioneer Library System. Kramer says that as long as the group obeys the rules, Pioneer can't tell them no. The invite says craft supplies will be available to make Valentine's Day cards and says that the dress code is, quote, public appropriate. However, The organizer encourages little wear for those who may enjoy age play, dressing up as a baby, juvenile, or toddler. The room where the party is scheduled to take place has glass walls. Those using the library can easily look inside. That includes the room next door, which is scheduled to have a wedding shower going on at the same time. If they are if they are creating a distraction by the way they look or act, then we might ask them to leave, unquote, says Kramer. After this story aired, they canceled the event. The group canceled the event.
They probably opt for a different venue.
Yeah.
I don't think Kramer knows what the hell this is.
Oh, no, I think it's very clear that he has no idea what he's getting into there. He was trying to be very diplomatic.
Yes.
I will say that, Jay has written an editorial on this subject, and that if you're interested in it, you can go to thefetishshow.com, and you can read his own take on it. I have a few things to say about it, too, unless you'd like to say something. Yeah. I think maybe the first thing I'd like to say is you might be surprised to hear that I don't really support this group in this case. I've always said on here, if you've been listening to me for a while, is that you don't have a right to include people in on your scene.
I agree.
Basically, BDSM requires it's a consensual act. You have to have everyone who is in the scene has to consent to being in the scene. The people who are having a wedding next door do not consent to this scene. And I think that while it's possible that they may have been using the public space as just someplace that's convenient, we can get together here, it's free, that's entirely possible. But let's be honest, there's also a little bit of the titillation of, you know, being out and sharing your thing with other people. The problem with that is that, again, there has to be consent. And
well, they did cancel.
They did cancel after they got on the news. You know, the question is, would they have canceled if it didn't make the news?
I don't know.
I mean, I would like to go into a restaurant with a naked chick on a leash and have her kneel and feed her from the table, but, you know, that's not really cool. I mean, where do you draw the line?
Naked.
There was another case in England lately where they did lead someone around fully clothed, but it was in a neighborhood, and one lady led another lady around on a leash every evening. She walked her girlfriend, right? And that's a case where, again, you know, you've got little kids that are going, Mommy, why is that girl walking that other girl on a leash? Now, that's not the worst thing that could possibly happen. But, again, there's, you know, the families don't consent to all of that.
I do agree that people should consent, and you should not bring people into your scene that has no business there or is unaware.
I don't want to see vanilla couples making out either, by the way.
I don't mind.
You don't mind that?
No.
I don't mind that if I'm in a bar, if I'm in an adult place or something.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, I don't even have kids, and I'm thinking, you know, why force parents to explain stuff to kids when they're just out doing their thing?
I don't think anybody would have known about the library. I don't think people would have known, period, what that was.
Well, it just depends on what the dress was, I guess. I don't know how far we want to go into this, but if you're dressed like Baby Huey, I think it would be an issue.
Possibly.
All right. Well, that's it for the Fetish Show news.
The Fetish Show has thousands of kinky adult listeners and is growing with every episode. If you'd like to reach a highly targeted audience of BDSM lifestylers and curious sexual adventurers, then contact our advertising team at info@thefetishshow.com. And now, the Fetish Show Advisor.
All right, on today's Advisor, we're going to talk about Vanilla Wilson's favorite subject, which is cock and ball torture.
Better known as CBT.
There you go. You would not believe the smile on Vanilla's face right now.
Is that a smile?
It's ear to ear. It's embarrassing for me.
I think you're mistaken.
So what? that might be an incorrect assessment. So anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to begin by asking, what is CBT? CBT is cock and ball torture. It means causing intense stimulation, discomfort, or pain to the penis.
And the balls.
Using hands or other improvised or manufactured devices. Can we bring up Vanilla here for just a second?
Yeah.
So, your favorite subject, CBT, what are your thoughts and feelings? Speak from the heart.
What are my feelings?
Yes. Cock and ball torture.
Keep that shit away from me. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
He's never experienced CBT. How can he?
Are you sure he hasn't? I know one of his girlfriends that might have been into that.
What? Pray tell.
She was a fiery little minx, wasn't she?
Yes.
She clocked you in the nuts there, Vanilla.
Well, unintentional. Well, I think unintentionally. who really knows?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, knowing her, it's kind of on the fence.
Not so unintentional.
Possibly.
So maybe he has experienced a little CBT.
Interesting. So we'll bring you in on the discussion section here in a minute. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what's the thrill? For like Vanilla Wilson, what would be the thrill? The cock is the organ of the male body most effectively wired for pleasure, right?
Yeah, I guess besides the brain. But of course, for male, you are speaking about males, so you're right.
Right.
It's the dick, the cock.
Yes. So in any case, it's wired, and there are huge stretches of pleasure and pain boundary to be explored with all of that. Maybe people are into sensation play.
Maybe.
Also, maybe more importantly, is the psychological aspect of CBT, where the cock being the center of male sexuality and a symbol of sexual potency, and when someone helplessly undergoes abuse of his most precious appendage, then the psychological charge is immense.
Think so?
I think so. So a site normally associated with indulgent pleasure is being transformed into a vulnerable target for punishment and pain. There are also clear links between cock torture and interest in sexual control and chastity. Chastity play.
We think of chastity there, Vanilla.
Would you like to chime in on that?
Chastity? Well, I've been fairly chaste for the past several years. So.
Are you into that, or?
It's not by choice.
Are you wearing the CB2000?
No, I've got just regular boxer briefs on.
So some of the things, some of the techniques, shall we say, that might be employed with CBT includes cock rings, right?
Cock rings, yes.
Which is like bondage for your business. Mm-hmm. Your hands, using hands, right?
That's what I prefer.
Right. Do you?
I do. I'm pretty handsy.
Crushing, scratching, stroking, squeezing, slapping.
Pinching, pulling.
Pinching, see?
Thumping.
Right, very good. you also might use cords, ropes, laces, that sort of thing. Again, for bondage, that sort of thing, constriction. You might use parachutes.
Shoelaces.
Right. Are you familiar with parachutes? What those do is they attach near kind of the top of the ball sack, if you will. And then you can put weights on those.
Yes, you can.
And stretch your boys out.
Vanilla's face.
You also, I know, we should have that on video. So other things include abrasion, electricity, play piercing, shaving, just plain shaving, ball crushers, right?
Yeah.
And sounds.
I like sounds.
Do you?
I do.
Do you want to go through maybe some safety stuff?
As far as CBT goes?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you from my perspective as a professional, what I tell any client is your balls belong to you. If at any point they are too blue, too much in pain or whatever, it's up to you to speak up. So that's basically my safety. I depend upon the person going through the CBT.
Right, so you safe words.
Yeah, well, safe words, yes, but it's your nutsack.
Right.
So it's just because you're in a session doesn't mean, you know, keep on enduring whatever. If it's too much pain, you speak up then.
So, right.
Anyway, and I look for things like circulation. Mm-hmm. If things are too blue, and just because the client wants it a certain way doesn't mean necessarily that I'll do it.
Well, right. You know? I mean, if you're in charge, you're also responsible for what's happening.
Yes, it's true.
And sometimes, I mean, if you're caught up in the moment, you can't really assess what's going on entirely.
Yes.
To be honest, because you may be stimulated, you may not be feeling it like. You know, right. Like you would if you weren't stimulated, if you weren't in that circumstance. So, you know, it's really up to the top to be paying attention.
When it comes to things turning blue, I usually go by time.
Mm-hmm.
If it's been a certain period of time, I think 5 minutes is long enough. Mm-hmm. If someone's nuts to be blue.
Right. Well, right.
Time to let go of some of the,
right.
Let go of some of the little bondage there and
sure.
A little more blood flow come back to the area.
Sure.
So that's just me personally.
I got a list of a few things, pretty much what you just said. If you've never done it before, go slow, you know, take your time. Remember that people's anatomy and their pain tolerance vary.
Yes.
Between one person and another. Some people may be highly, highly sensitive, and other people may not be quite as sensitive. And
yes.
That sort of thing. If you ever have any doubt about injury, stop immediately, stop the scene,
yes.
forget, you can always play again, but you know,
that's
don't
right.
be afraid to shut the show down. Watch about tying the balls to something else if they're standing up, or if it's something that could move on them, you could tear your business. No one really wants that. So make sure that they're secure if they're being tied to something and they don't have a lot of movement, a lot of individual movement, right? Use antiseptic afterwards, just like any, you know, especially if you're talking about
some alcohol. Slap some alcohol on the old nuts right there.
That's the Dom that loves. There, use a little antiseptic. You might use an ice pack to reduce swelling, if that's happening there. And if the ball sack appears black and blue or massively enlarged, you probably should go to the hospital.
I don't think I've ever played that way.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully it doesn't do anything like that. It doesn't go too far.
No, I've never done that.
You know? Do you have any stories about CBT that you want to share? Any anecdotes or fairy tales?
Well, I could tell you this one client. I walked out of the room for a second and came back in, and he had taken one of the locks that I have and clicked them onto his nutsack and lost the fucking key. I was like, what are you doing?
Sweet.
He's like, I lost the key, Princess Zoe. I was like, all right, that's it. I'm calling the locksmith. He's like, no, don't call. I was just fucking with him. I wasn't going to call the locksmith.
That's perfect.
So I had to turn on the lights, you know, and we're looking all around the floor for the damn fucking key. Dumbass. So, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Okay. So with some of your Dom monks out of the room, don't click something onto your nuts and then lose the fucking key.
I have an anecdote, and then we're going to talk to Summer here for a minute, who's our production manager, who might have maybe a couple things to share. I've had some problems with a pinched nerve, and I have a doctor.
In your nuts?
No, it's not in my nuts, thank God. Holy shit. It's in my back. I've got a pinched nerve.
But this is a CBT and to segment.
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
So the doctor, to reduce some inflammation and stuff, put those little the TENS unit pads on my back. Mm. And he starts out and he's like, can you feel that? What do you think about that? It's like, yeah, I can feel that. And he's like, just stop me when it gets too, you know, too heavy. And I'm thinking, dude, I've had these on my nutsack. You're not going to be able to make it too heavy for me. So anyway, there's my CBT story.
Okay.
You can't say that to your doctor.
Good.
I've had that on my nutsack, dude. Summer, let's talk to you for just a second.
He might have said, yeah, I've had these on my headset too.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know when you get the kinky position.
That's right.
That's right. So, Summer, do you have any things that you'd like to add about CBT or maybe a story?
Well, I'm a trans woman, but I still legally own a penis. So I can't comment on this directly as well.
Right.
I'm not a sadist, I'm not a masochist, and I'm a switch. So I'm kind of interested in the pleasure of my partner as much as anything. And mm-hmm. you just mentioned tens. And tens is without a doubt one of my favorite things to have done with myself. I let people play with me sometimes. But to do with partners. And we play with each other within our poly family, so that gives us a lot of freedom to try things.
Well, people, they either like tens or they do not. There's no mm-hmm. middle ground when it comes to tens.
That's true.
Yeah, and there's the level of pleasure, however. You know, you try it on yourself first. Like, I got one, so, you know, I try that. And get an idea of what kind of ranges
how
I've
convenient.
Got in there. Yes, yes, yes. And my partner's got one, you know, so I can always say, hey, oh, honey, let me, you know, stick this on your balls.
Put this on your ball sack.
And he's never refused.
There you go. See?
But the most interesting experience was part of a celebration with one of my poly sisters. She really wanted to do some CBT, had wonderful skills in other areas, and had really not had one to play. Her boy was a female-to-male trans, so she didn't have one, of course, and neither did her boy partner. And John, who's normally a dom, always volunteers because he just kind of loves our poly family. And she did sounding on him. Mm-hmm. She did needles on him.
Wow.
And some electrics. Didn't use the tens, but John found it, you know, just extremely pleasurable.
So what did she use? She didn't use the, for electrics, what did she use?
A little spark stick.
Oh, okay. I have one of those.
And they work well.
Like you have one too.
Mm-hmm. I do have one. Yes, I do.
And we both have a geesh, which is at that nexus, that bundle of nerves, that perianal bundle, and electrics hooked up to that kind of is a fun sort of.
It's
thing.
A party starter.
Absolutely.
Yes. So do you leave the piercing in?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have a little metal contact there?
Yeah, and you know, there are speaking of safety considerations, when you pass something through the body with electricity, of course, it's going to react a lot more differently than surface contact. So you do want to be careful when you hook into piercings. You know, don't cross the heart. I have done that myself at very low amperages with no ill effects, but you got to know your partner too. You know, if you see that little lump from a pacemaker, don't stick an electrode on it and turn it up to 9.
Vanilla, do you have anything to add to this? Or?
No.
I think he's traumatized.
I think you're right. Zoe, anything else that you want to add?
I'm good.
I think we've covered CBT. If you've got maybe a story or something you want to send to us, then why don't you write us at info@thefetishshow.com, or you can dial us up at 1-888-506-0221 and tell us your CBT story.
Contact The Fetish Show now by email at info@thefetishshow.com. Through our toll-free voicemail hotline, 1-888-506-0221. Or on the comments for this episode on our website at thefetishshow.com. We want to hear from you. The Fetish Show feature presentation.
Today, we're here with the band Kali Ra. Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Now in the studio here, we have David Goad, who is both does vocals and writes for the band, correct? Guitar, among other things.
Yes, most of the guitar duties are done by Mr. Joel Price.
All right. We also have in the other studio, we have Joel Price, who does guitar and apparently a bunch of other things, including engineering and production.
Yes.
And then we also have Mark Middleton, who does keyboards.
Yes.
And the other two members of the band who are not here is Justin Hogan.
Yeah, he played guitar on the album.
Very cool. And Brian Daniel.
Yes. Is he still part of the band?
No, Justin is not. He more did session work with us.
I see.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's an interesting cat, though. That's another story.
Well, let me ask what the origin of the name Kali Ra is.
Kali, the Hindu god of death and destruction, and Ra, the sun god. And it's they're both symbols of power and the cyclical nature of life and death.
Very cool.
He has a great voice, doesn't he?
Like that? Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good interview voice.
I actually was a DJ for like a year.
Really?
Oh, that's cool. Where'd you do that?
The Spy, KOSU. So.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Very cool.
Yes.
Wow. I like The Spy a lot. Yes. All right. Well, let me ask, how did the band come about?
Well, I was in the band of the Tower for about 2 years, and it dissipated. I won't go into that shit, but I had all these songs that I could take from it, and a bunch of new ones that I had written that were more pop and less a cliched goth thing, which is what I was doing at the time.
Right.
And I wanted a vehicle to do that, and to be able to write freely and perform as I want and be creatively free and to associate with like-minded people. And I knew Joel Price, who was a like-minded individual. We did a lot of talking beforehand. And
it always takes a lot of damn talking, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
But he seemed pretty interested. I guess so interested that he decided to help me make the album
and right.
play a bunch of shows with me.
What's your influence, though, for your band? I mean, for this particular theme?
Oh, David Bowie, Peter Murphy, Depeche Mode.
All right.
That kind of stuff. Scott Walker is a huge influence for me.
I see.
Since you mentioned the music, let's play a little clip. This is Color from Kali Ra.
I think it's pretty good production, for damn sure. Who does your recording?
Mr. Joel Price.
Well, what doesn't Mr. Price do? Damn.
You guys all have to wear a lot of hats, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Summer's like, yeah, I think I
maybe someday some label will pick us up and give us money. And
right. Take some of those hats away from you.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I know how that is. That's got a real moody soundscape feel to it. Very kind of multi-layered. We were talking earlier about, you said you were classically trained in music.
Yes.
Which obviously shows in the construction of the final product here.
Yes.
What's your background?
Well, I am classically trained in voice, classical guitar, and composition, music theory.
Cool.
You said that you actually write the music out.
Yes, in notation.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is highly unusual, I think, for a rock band.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, from what I know.
Yeah, I sort of reverse engineered it. So.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Reverse engineer?
Yes.
So what?
Wait, explain that a little bit. Hold on. Reverse engineer.
Well, you know, like a rock band, like we were talking about, might jam out a song, and
yes.
I actually composed it on staves, and
okay.
Then a band learned it later. Improved it, actually.
I chart all my songs when I'm learning a song. I have to get it stuck in my head. So,
I think the process of creating a song is really interesting. I'd be curious as to what you do generally to create a piece of music.
Yes. Would you like me to go through that process?
Sure, yeah, please.
Yes.
Let me guide your hand down the...
down the rabbit hole?
Yes.
Guide your hand down someplace? Wow.
Take the red pill or the blue pill?
Sorry, we're being nasty.
Yes, molesting and drugs. So, but besides that, the other elements of songwriting for me are... I have an experience of some kind, good or bad, and then later I... shit out lyrics that associate with that memory. And I often try to conceptualize what it sounds like and what it feels like. And then I come up with harmony and melody. And I think of the context of the lyrics and the context of the song. And from there, I figure out the instrumentation and the arrangement and that I want. And then I compose it out on sheet music. And then I get people who are more skilled than me at instruments and production to help me make that happen.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you think in pictures?
Actually, I do. I guess I'm a little synesthetic.
No, it appears that way to me. That in a lot of in more intelligent people, I think a little bit higher IQ, I think do think in pictures, and it's just curious. Thank you for answering that.
Yeah,
I know a few people like that.
Let me ask how you found the Fetish Show. I think that's kind of interesting.
So we have mutual friends, a lot of friends of mine that are in the local burlesque scene or fetish scene. They listen to you guys,
right?
And that's how I found you.
Cool. So yeah, that's definitely our crowd. No doubt about that. Yeah.
Definitely. So they're a little bit of a fetish band, I guess we could say, in a way. They have some fetish tendencies, I suppose. We were talking earlier. They're part of the crew now. They've been up here a few times.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
The way that works?
Definitely Mark is part of our crew. We've kind of adopted him.
You've got an album coming out in April.
Yes.
And what you're going to do is you're going to actually press it on vinyl.
Yes.
Oh, cool as hell. All right.
What's the reason for that?
To be cool.
Yes, exactly. I want that cool factor. But CDs are sort of redundant nowadays. People can get their digital copy online. And vinyls are more of a complete package. They're experiential. Mm-hmm. You go to the record store and you buy this piece of art, essentially, and you take it home. It has the album art and the back on it. It's got a fold-out poster with lyrics or whatever on it.
Cool.
You
know,
the actual vinyl piece, as it were, the actual piece of art. You stick it on your turntable and you listen to whole sides at a time, not just one song whenever you feel
like
it.
Was this your idea?
Well, I would like to take complete credit for it, but I mostly talk to a lot of people around me, like Joel and, some of the other people that have been helping me with it. My videographer, Mike Walsh, and people like that.
Who is doing your album art?
Angie Brenner. She is a very talented local artist who specializes in photorealism.
Cool.
And we did a photo shoot in the concourse downtown with local model actress Tiffany Cotton.
Do you know who that is?
I don't know Tiffany Cotton.
I don't either. But we're going to know now.
But the underground is very cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I've shot some stuff down there.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
We did the blue and yellow hallway and then the white hallway.
Yeah.
So those were cool.
It's awesome.
So when is the album coming out, going to be released or whatever?
April 20th.
All right.
Unless something bad happens.
Right.
And it won't. Tell us a little bit about your gig. You just had a gig, two days ago?
Yes, Art Momentum.
You scared them or something?
Yes. There were a lot of hipsters there.
Momentum is under 25 or under 30?
Under 30.
Under 30.
Yes.
Artist under 30?
Yes.
In town, that's in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and the organization, the person behind it is really awesome, Stephanie Winter. She's done a lot for the local art scene, and a lot of these kids are able to get installations and gallery showings that otherwise, other galleries wouldn't give them the time of day.
Oh, absolutely.
And they also expose them to potential investors, and so that's definitely a positive thing for the community.
You said you scared these hipsters.
Yes.
What'd you do to them?
There were a lot of hipsters and old folks, and we scared the holy shit out of them. We showed them footage of her new music video, Color, that's going to come out pretty soon. And let's just say there was a lot of afterbirth involved.
I think this is the one that they borrowed some gear.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Yes. Cool. I have to watch that so I can see my gear
yes.
in action.
Right.
Thank you for letting us borrow that.
Oh, you're welcome.
It was
anytime.
Very handy.
Well, I can't wait to see the hot chick in the shackles.
Yes.
I guess she came out on a leash or something. Should I be not giving this away, or is it okay?
I don't think anybody's going to be able to figure it out.
Is
right.
that video available now? Or?
Not yet. They're still editing it. There's a ton of footage.
I understand how that is.
That's true. It's a text. You could spend a year just making the footage to get 5-minute damn video done.
Oh, my God, yes.
It's a lot of fucking yes. work. I know I've done one myself, and shit.
Yeah.
I, going back to what you were talking about just a minute ago, I think it's really interesting that you want to release the music as an album so that you force the people, instead of listening to one song at a time, you force them to have a complete experience where they listen to each song and one song builds on the other.
Yeah.
And then also you have album art, which is yes. kind of a lost art form.
Yes.
I mean, I know that when I was growing up, you would get that album art. And it would tell a story. I mean, they had amazing stuff by Frazetta or Boris Vallejo or whatever that would, you know,
put or H.R. Geiger, for Christ's sake.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that would tell an entire story.
Yeah.
And then you'd see you'd hear the music, and it gave you like a more complete experience. Where now it's more like, you know, your song is in between, you know, another 15 songs or whatever. So anyway, I'd like for you to talk a little bit more about that, if you would.
Yeah, and I believe my peers there will, my comrades.
Are we going to let them talk
ever? Let's bring them in on that. What do you guys think about releasing an album? We've got Joel Price in there and Mark Middleton.
For me, it's my first experience in releasing an album of something that I've actually had creative input on. As the producer and engineer of the album, it's been a very, very, very hands-on process from the very beginning, from taking rudimentary song structures and chord progressions and turning them into kind of complex layers of sound. You know, from a live perspective and a recording perspective, you kind of have to run a balancing act as a producer to make sure that you can recreate live what you create in the studio.
Mm. That's awesome, because when you go to hear a band play, you want to fucking hear what you hear on the recording.
And he was incremental in transferring, you know, the ideas from the album to a live sound. It couldn't have been done without his input.
Well, it's definitely a collaborative effort, anything like this. Yeah. So tell us, who did your ink?
actually, Robert Grapes. He used to work at Atomic Lotus.
Oh, yeah?
Off of 23rd Street.
They did my ink there, too.
What?
They did my ink there, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Got a video up.
Yeah.
Damn you.
Now we've been.
Yeah, I'm a pussy though. Yeah, I'm like ah.
The voice you've been hearing is Joel.
Yes.
Mark, what's it like working with the band?
Oh, I think it's great. I've been a solo musician for a long time, just writing my own music. I haven't done much with it, but this is an opportunity for me to socialize with other musicians, and what makes this a special and unique experience for me is that I've tried working with other groups of people, and they don't appear to have any kind of a game plan
mm-hmm.
or a goal,
right?
Or be able to play music sometimes.
I know exactly what you mean.
Working with this group in the short amount of time that I have so far has just been really fun, and I've already learned so much. I'm really enjoying the experience.
It's nice to hear somebody
like
say that.
It sounds like it's rewarding to be with a group of musicians who have a goal. You guys are obviously trying to get out there. You've done a lot of traveling.
Yes. I like to do this full to the hilt, if possible. You know, we're careerists.
Well, it's nice to hear someone say that they're learning something, because a lot of musicians won't just break down and say, hey, I'm learning something working with this group. They think they know it all.
Yeah,
I guess.
Can't do anything right. new unless you do learn something.
That's for damn sure.
Well, this is the fetish show.
Yes.
So we got to talk a little bit of fetish, guys.
Oh, yeah, I guess we do.
At least some sex or something.
Yeah.
Well, I told you what my question was. I was going to ask how big their penises are.
Oh, my God. Does it always have to be the penis?
Yes. Well, why not?
We're dudes. We don't have much else.
That's all we have going for us.
It begins penises. And ends with the penis.
So no one fessed up to how big their penises were, though, so. Someone said theirs was small, but I don't know what that means.
Wow. You don't know what it means? That doesn't connect with you?
To them, you know.
Should we go around the room here?
Yes, my penis is biggest of all.
Apparently, one of the members of your band who's not here, can we say he's into he has a foot fetish?
Yes.
We can
Brian
say that.
Daniel.
Why is that dude? Why is that dude not here right now, talking to us and telling us about his foot fetish? Because that is right up.
Well,
our
you know, alley. The other day when he was here, he kept trying to smell my feet.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was he successful at that?
No, I didn't take off my boots, but he tried.
You're supposed to. Yeah, you're supposed to.
You know, fuck it. I'll tell that. The story. So,
what? Go
inquiring
right ahead.
Minds want to know.
I mean, he's dated a lot of girls, and you know, he's more like into, he wants it to be clean though. It's not just like any feet.
Yeah, he likes the foot to be clean. Yes.
Yeah, like fresh out of the shower.
Which is okay. A little unusual, because a lot of guys like the smell of the foot in the socks there all day long, the gym shoes.
And some like the humiliation of like feet that have been through like dirt or whatever,
yeah.
And having to lick that off.
I guess that's not his bag.
Not his
no.
thing?
No.
He likes clean feet.
Yes.
It's interesting. Yes. Is he into the, since you're speaking for him, is he in, yeah. He's going to love this.
I have his right of attorney.
Since that's what we need. That's all I need. Since he's into this, is he also into the stockings and the heels or just clean feet?
Oh, I think the heels probably accentuate it.
Right.
He likes when David wears heels.
That's right.
Is that right? Yes. Anyone wearing heels, really.
Do you know that foot fetish is the most common fetish known to mankind?
Brian, that will teach you to not be here during this interview.
I should have done it in his voice.
Can you do his voice?
Well, I'll tell you about the first time I had sex. It was in a chicken coop.
What? A chicken coop? Oh, I heard about this. It's a fucking chicken coop.
Wow. Yes.
There were virgins fucking in a chicken coop.
I don't know if I can tell you how old they were.
That sounds like an Oklahoma story.
They were like 15.
Yes.
I just blurt that out.
Yes, not any closer to birth than that.
all right, well, you guys are going to have an album that's going to come out in April.
Yes.
It's called Electric Living.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And if they're interested in learning more about Kali Ra, they should be going to officialkaliraw.com. We'll have that link on our site.
Yes.
And is there? And if they want to email you, find out some more information, they can email you at info@officialkaliraw.com.
Absolutely.
Facebook.
And you're going to, you've got a Facebook page, is that correct?
Yes. Facebook.com/officialkaliraw.
Very good. So. All right. Well, we've been talking with David Goad, Joel Price, and Mark Middleton from Kali Ra. Again, if you want to hear their music or check out their upcoming dates, go to officialkaliraw.com. And thanks for talking to us, guys.
Thank you.
Adios.
We want to thank Kali Ra, who just did the interview with us. Since the time that we did the interview and the time that we're doing the outro for the show here, Princess Zoe, you saw Kali Ra in performance
concert, yeah.
At the Hilo. I believe they mentioned that during our interview.
Yes, it was a pretty good show.
Yeah?
Yeah. David does a really good performance there. He's like on the floor and does all kinds of really cool stuff. And,
right.
And I got to see their bass player, Brian, and they were all excited to see me.
Did they say anything about what they let go during this interview, or did
no,
they mention
they didn't.
It? Is this going to be a big surprise to him, or
no, they didn't. They didn't. I talked to him after the show and told him a little bit, and he was fine.
Did you?
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Nah, he was fine. He wants to actually come up another time and do his own little interview with us. So I said, "That's fine. Come
oh
on,
my God,
come on up." They liked us a lot. They want to hang out.
Well, so. That's cool. You know, I talked to a couple of the guys after the interview, and we talked philosophy for a while, which is something that I probably hadn't done in, you know, I don't know, a long time. Most of the crowd that I hang out with doesn't really want to talk
philosophy.
Yeah, whatever.
They just don't want to talk to you.
You know, solve world problems or whatever. You know, that's not usually the crowd that I hang out with. So anyway, it was fun to talk to them. These guys got a lot going on upstairs.
They do. Smart boys.
Yeah, definitely.
Smart boys.
And motivated, trying to, you know, really get out there and do some stuff. I think that's pretty cool. So anyway, thanks to Kali Ra for talking
to us.
And by the way, we never did this, and I regretted this during when I thought about the interview after the fact. We never spelled Kali Ra. So it is spelled K-A-L-I-R-A.
Yes, Kali but two Ra. Different words.
Right, two different
R-A
words.
R-A is a word on its own.
If you're looking up officialkaliRa.com, I thought, you know what? That could be spelled about 140 different ways. So the actual spelling is K-A-L-I-R-A.
Yes, it is.
Also, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that I had a piece in the Detroit Dirty Show.
Yes,
and I wasn't sure exactly what the address was. The address for the Dirty Show is dirtydetroit.com.
Cool.
And honestly, you're listening to this now. It probably won't be. It happens right around Valentine's Day every year. Basically, and this year it ran like 3 weeks. It was actually a pretty big deal.
Wow.
Occasionally they will do a show like somewhere around the United States, and on a couple of occasions they've actually done two shows in Detroit every year. So anyway, even though, you know, you may be far away from Valentine's Day, you might check out the site because they could have something going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they got some cool stuff on their you site.
Know. Yeah, they really do.
They do.
And once again, we should probably run over there.
I don't know. We say that every year.
We were also talking about South by Southwest, which is running right now, as it turns out.
Tell us a little bit about what that is.
Oh, wow. You know, honestly, I haven't done a lot of research on this. I know that several years ago, when I wasn't paying much attention to it at all, I thought it was a big band, like a music scene thing, because they kept talking about all the bands that were showing up and doing shows out there and stuff. I've learned since then that basically it started out as, like, from what I know, and please, you know, don't eviscerate me if this is incorrect. From what I know, it basically started out as a tech industry get together where, like, they would debut software or hardware, you know, all the tech guys would get together.
It's kind of taken on a life of its own.
It has.
Yes.
Just like I was saying earlier, just like with the San Diego Comic Con, which originally was just about comics, now it's become a big Hollywood scene where they, you know, have like Steven Spielberg talking about whatever the next film is that he's got coming out, because the fans are so damn rabid there that if you debut a trailer or a film or something, you can get the social networking scene going nuts on something by the time it comes out, you know, during either the winter or the next summer.
The South by Southwest we definitely need to be involved in. That's close to us, and it's right up our alley.
It's in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something that it has so many different elements now that we really need to be part of it.
We do.
Because it's not just the tech. I mean, obviously the tech angle, we're available on the internet, so that's a slam dunk. They've got the music scene, and now with Hollywood there, I want to get in on that.
Yes, we do.
And there's
on that.
So much stuff happening down there. It's a big kind of a festival, really.
I like festivals.
by the way. We need to find out a little bit more about it. And hey, if you're listening to this and you're involved in it, get in touch with us, info@thefetishshow.com, and tell us what's going on. Tell me more. It's only 6 hours away from us. It'd be easy to make it down there for that. Let's see, what else do we? Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention is because we had Colly Raw on here. When we were listening to their music, it occurred to me that the type of music that they create, whether it's explicitly mentions BDSM or not, would actually be really good music to sing to.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And we were just listening to some in the control room. And what were we listening to? Discipline, I believe, is the name of that song. So I'm going to play a little bit of that and see what you guys think.
Yeah, we're going to be playing that in a minute. So I want to talk a little bit about songs that you sing to.
Songs to sing to.
I usually will grab like a CD when I'm going to be doing a scene and put it on repeat. And I've done a bunch of different scenes over the year, but the CD that I like the most to sing to is a group called Delirium.
Really?
For whatever reason, Delirium always seems to be like the perfect, you know, music, the perfect kind of, I think the perfect scene music doesn't get too much. You know, you don't want to, it's not like catchy. It's not, there's not too much, you know, like jingle type stuff to it because you don't
want
to.
You want something that's more instrumental.
You don't want your submissive singing along with the music. You're supposed to get lost in the music.
Right.
And stuff like Delirium is a good example.
And the music is one thing that's in particular that you said. Not the lyrics, but the music.
It's the music. It's right. For me, personally, I like stuff with a like kind of a steady beat, like a lot of bass. And again, it's not too jarring. It's not, you know. In your face.
Well, you guys are going to like this Colly Raw music. I think that people agree that this is something you can sing to. So,
right. So some other bands that came off the top of my head, for example, would be Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode.
Portishead, Collide. Mm-hmm. I have used the Matrix soundtrack before, by the way. I think that's pretty cool. And finally, Enigma. But Enigma is so overplayed.
Yeah.
That, like, back when it first came out, it was maybe perfect, but maybe it's almost like cliche now.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to scene to Enigma, then that's.
Need something a little newer.
Yeah, I think, you know, there may be some other stuff out there. And so, what I want to do is I want to open it up to the people who are listening to this. If you've got some suggestions. On music to scene to.
What about Summer in there? What do you think about that? Bring Summer in on this combo session?
Absolutely, yeah. Let's talk to Summer. Summer?
Well, dating myself a little bit, but when I top, because I use ropes a lot and a lot of hands-on, I really like Kraftwerk.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it kicks me up into the notch I really like to be in.
I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
That's funny, Kraftwerk. Wow, I had a buddy whose dad was in the military, and he served over in Germany.
He
brought some Kraftwerk back, like in the early '80s, and played it for us. You know, us kids, and we were like, "What the hell? This is like the future of music. I love this."
And Summer, does that work come from
that's
for you?
Exactly.
Back in the Germany days for you?
Exactly, yeah. I was there for a number of years, and while I was working on a degree, I worked in the King's Club, and it was height of techno music and such, and Keely and I were talking about that just the other night, you know, to be there when that was happening and to be in all of those neat Stuttgart buildings and such in the middle of Germany.
And who is Keely? Keely, you want to say hello?
Oh. Hello.
Another guest there in our control room.
Speaking of Germany, Rammstein might be pretty good to sing too.
If it's
a heavy scene.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually Rammstein.
please correct me because I do not sprechen Sie.
That's an old Air Force base thing. There, I was right across the Autobahn there.
Great band.
In an Army
great
installation. Band. Absolutely. Yeah. But if I bought them, since I like to get into the zone pretty quick. My partner puts together playlists that are primarily Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
And I can really let myself go with that. And again, not get so involved in the words, but in the feeling that the music puts across.
Actually, I Keenly put together some music for us in the past when we went to, I think it was Kansas City. I had him put together like a CD for us to play at our station, you know, just for the setup that we had for the Fetish Show. And I don't think we had Rammstein on there, but he had some pretty good songs on there. Do you remember any of the music that you put on that CD?
Well, I can guess some for sure choices like Depeche Mode, Master Servant,
yeah.
In the Room, stuff like that.
Yeah. So anyway, he's pretty good at pulling that together.
Mm-hmm.
Keeley's got a good music sense. He's been a musician for quite some time.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he played back when you were in Eufaula. He sat in on one of your sets and was easily your best musician.
Yes.
By the way,
if y'all know who he is, he actually is a he fronts a band. He's from Greece, and actually, you made a poster for one of their band's gigs for the Drops, actually.
And he's supposed to be working on the Fetish Show song.
Yes, he is supposed to be working. Are you going to keep on working on that, or what? You just ditched the project? What the hell?
I'm on a hiatus, but I will resume.
He was singing it to me the other day.
Was he?
That's good stuff.
Yes.
Well, do you have anything else to add, Princess?
No, I think that's about it. I think this is a good episode. I've really enjoyed getting to meet this band, Kalira, and I think they're great contacts, and I want everybody in the local area to go out and see these guys. I think you're going to be happy with what you see. And that's about it for me.
All right. Well, speaking of Kalira, we're going to let Kalira play us out with a song of theirs called Discipline. So, if you are interested in learning more about what we're doing on The Fetish Show, please drop by thefetishshow.com where you can find links, videos from the show, more about us and how to contact us. You can contact us directly at info@thefetishshow.com. You can learn more about Princess Zoe at theprincesszoe.com. And finally, you can learn more about me at www.com. So, for Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Cooper saying dream on. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We are always looking for interviews with kink industry performers or BDSM lifestyle leaders. We review toys, books, and appear at events. If you have fetish news, or if you are an erotic artist or writer, then we may be interested in featuring you. Get in touch with us now at info@thefetishshow.com or visit our website, thefetishshow.com.